so much for joining me today. My name is Psychic Antoinette, and I'm here with my special guest, Karen Miles. First off, before I introduce you to my friend, Karen Miles, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. Today is February 11th, 2013, and don't forget, this coming week is Valentine's Day, so make sure you get your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend something, because you know if you don't, they're going to be really upset. Anyways, I just wanted to tell you a couple of events that's coming up. In May, I'm expecting a new and improved website. I went on my first paranormal investigation this weekend, and as a psychic medium, I've never done this before, and this was my first opportunity to go, and I have to say it rocked. I really enjoyed it. It's not everything that you think of that it is on the media and TV. It's not everything that you think it is. It's totally different. And I have to applaud all the people that actually go there and do these investigations. The majority, about 99.9%, it's all volunteer. So they do a fabulous job researching everything that you can think of to get involved in the paranormal, and it's just absolutely awesome. Anyways, let me go to my friend Karen Miles. We're going to get with her in a few seconds. I just wanted to tell you who she is. She's a great friend of mine. She actually lives down in the south where I live. And anyways, we're going to be talking to Karen, where I'm going to be asking her some questions because she is in the paranormal field. And, you know, this is what the Enchantment Hour is about. It's all different opportunities about the spiritual realm. But anyways, with Karen, she said that she started doing her investigations in Kentucky, and she involved more in that, and she's also a published author of the Spirit World Paranormal Chronicles, and she's also a published poet and the host of Spirit Trials Radio, with which she won an episode of the year recently that was featured by Jay Terrace, I think that's his name, but she's on Blog Talk Radio, and her radio channel is Spirits Travel Radio. Anyways, we're going to kick it over to Karen, and we're going to have a great conversation. So anyways, welcome, Karen.
Hi, Antoinette. Thank you for having me today.
If you could just tell, if you don't mind, telling you know everybody what you do and how you started being involved in the paranormal, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I'll start out with how I got involved. A few years ago, my daughter came to me and said that she was seeing spirits, and there were three of them, and it kind of concerns me. So I actually searched for a team to come into my home. This team later became my team. After watching them, I was really impressed with what they did and how they done the investigation. That's been 5 years, almost 6 years ago, and I had been involved in the paranormal ever since. Absolutely love it. I do host Spirit Travels Radio, which airs on Fridays, and that. There'll be new episodes coming out with it starting in April. I did write Spirit World Paranormal Chronicles. It's about some of my experiences in the field. And I truly enjoy being a part of it. But there are a lot of things, you were talking earlier about the differences. There are a lot of differences in this field that people, they see it one way on TV, but when you actually go out and do it, it's completely, totally different than what you see.
Yes, it is, and it's actually, you know, to me, it wasn't boring at all. I thought it was very fascinating because, you know, I am a psychic medium, so I do pick up the energies, but it's a different perspective when you're doing it as a ghost investigation instead of being a psychic medium, because you're getting more of the scientific portion of paranormal investigating than you are, per se, more as spiritual. But I do have a couple of questions. I hope you don't mind. Do you work with a team, or do you just work by yourself?
Well, I was working with a team. I used to be part of Afterlife Investigations of Kentucky. I've not done any real investigative work since the team broke up, but planning on going back out this summer. I may be joining another team here in Texas, so I'm looking forward to that. I've been trying to teach my daughter. She's getting to about that age to where she wants to maybe start going out and doing some things. And I do a lot of talking to her about it, and I do talk to other people about the do's and don'ts of the paranormal field.
So how old is your daughter?
16.
She's at that age and that stage that she kind of is more more interested and wanting to know what's going on. So that's fabulous. So now you're going. So you're going to be possibly working in Texas. You want to tell us a little bit about that, or is it still up in the air, or what's going on with that?
Well, I had noticed a few days ago on Facebook there was a team that's going to be moving to my area, and I actually sent them an email and asked them if they were looking for a case manager and a researcher, because that's what I do. So they're going to meet with me, I'm thinking probably about June.
Oh, cool.
And sit down, talk, and see.
How big are the teams usually?
Excuse me?
How big are the teams? Like, how many people are usually in the team, like in the paranormal investigation teams? How many usually are in there? And what... what do they do? Like, do they have a specific, one can be a case manager, one can be the media tech. Is there certain ones that do certain areas?
Well, each team member has a certain thing that they do. Like, for me, for instance, I was the case manager and the researcher, so I did all the research, and then I would talk with the clients and so forth. Our team in particular had 12 members.
Okay.
And we were a somewhat of a family-based team. We didn't just go out and investigate. We would do the investigations, but we also would spend time together, like 4th of July, stuff like that. We'd meet sometimes and all of us would have dinner together, those kind of things, because we were a very tight-knit team. And I recommend that for all groups, because you become at one with each other. You know what the other one's going to do in the middle of an investigation, but you have to keep it to where it's in a working, kind of like a working machine almost, so to say.
Yeah, I noticed that when I went with the paranormal, I'm not going to say their names because I'm not fully on their team, but I did notice that they had about 7 people there, and one was working the computer, and another one was doing the setup of the cameras and all that technical stuff. And I actually did sit down in one of the sessions, and I was in there getting any energy or any stuff like that. And they had, please excuse my language here, but I don't know what kind of machines that they had in there, but they had one that had an antenna on the top, and if any energy went near it, it would sound off, and it did go off a whole bunch of times, and no one was around it. So they had all this fascinating technology stuff, and I'm going, I have no idea. But it was really cool to be in there and see how they worked together as a team, and I noticed that they were close-knit, and, I even was able to look at the cameras, too, on the screen and seeing any activity from the cameras, and I just thought it was fascinating. And that was my first time, and I have to say I'm addicted. So I hope and I pray that they might want to invite, a psychic medium again on their little investigation. But, do you think, actually, as an investigator, do you think it's suitable or do you think it's acceptable for psychic mediums to go along and do investigations?
I think it's fine. If the team is willing to let a psychic medium join them on an investigation, I don't see any problem in it whatsoever.
No. Do you think it adds any, do you think it's crucial or do you think it's, they're ruining the whole situation and they won't be able to find, the evidence they already know and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Right. No, I think it's very crucial for them to, at least every team to invite at least one out to see how it goes, because sometimes you can take a psychic medium out on an investigation and what they get corresponds with what you have.
Yeah.
And it just enhances that evidence that you have.
Exactly. Well, let me just go to the call-in numbers in case anybody wants to call in and ask some questions for our special guest, Karen Miles. She's a paranormal investigator. The number is 530-327-7602, or you can call 1-530-413-7600. Again, we're Karen Miles. So even though you've been doing this for 5 years, I'm curious about your book. You said you were a published author of the Spirit World Paranormal Chronicles. Now,
yes.
Do you mind if we go into details? What kind of paranormal investigations you went on and what certain things happened? Do you mind discussing that?
That would be fine. I have several that I can talk to you about.
Okay, great.
There was It was a private home that we were working in Kentucky, and this particular case had several entities. But the area itself sits on 500 miles of battleground.
Of battleground, so, wow. Do you know what battleground it was?
It was Mill Springs Battlefield.
Okay.
It was one of the last battles before, and I can't remember which general, the one, I believe it was Grant, that surrendered at Appomattox, Virginia.
Okay.
So the battle started there, and then it just moved on up. But there was a lot of, there's a lot of entities in that area, and it makes for quite an investigation. But this particular location, it was an old plantation area. I mean, it was a huge farm area, and there was a lot of slaves and different types of people that were in that on that location.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we were doing this investigation, and they'd asked about the older structure, which happened to be a barn on the property. So we go out, and they gave us permission to go out to this barn to see if we could pick up anything out there. We'd gotten all kinds of evidence inside the house and then down over the hill near a tree. And we believe that, I believe there'd been some hangings at that tree, but I'm not for sure.
So what are some of the, I don't mean to cut you off, but what is some of the evidence that you got in the house?
Well, there was a native spirit there. There was also a negative spirit in the house, which I did come across both these spirits. But the negative spirit in particular is more of a dominant type. Wants you to know, hey, I'm here, you know, don't mess with me kind of feel is what that one puts off.
Okay.
They had, you could hear footsteps to sit quietly. Now, you were talking about the DVR system sitting and watching the film. I've done that. Team members would take turns actually sitting and watching the film and documenting.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's what I was doing. Yeah, me and my son were doing that majority of the night. I thought that was more interesting. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed going in and doing, you know, the investigation and trying to provoke the entity. But I enjoyed watching it on the screen. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that was a bad thing, but I really, like, enjoyed that. But you know what? Not to interrupt you, but this is funny. I'm watching it. And you would see all these little boats, like all these like things going by. And I'm going, it's an orb. And they kept telling me, no, it's dust. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, because it just kind of, you know, started floating up and it just went in every direction. And I'm like, it has to be an orb. But I guess it was dust. So anyways, my other question is before you finish your experiences, sorry. I have another question. But anyways, go ahead. And I'm sorry. I'm a nut. I'm sorry. You know that.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I enjoy it. We go out to this barn, and when we get out there, I was there and three other investigators, which I was the only female that night that was with the group. And we're doing the investigation. We're doing the EVP session. Now, it's cold out because everybody has jackets on, so it's cold. But this barn begins to get warm.
Really?
It starts to warm up, and I think everybody noticed it, you know, because I know I noticed it, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, something's with this, you know, it's getting warm. Well, further into the EVP session, I start feeling something, and it feels like anger, but I couldn't figure out why I was feeling this anger. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, well, why am I feeling this? Because I'm not mad. Well, it peaked. And the more it got, the stronger it got, the more I started thinking, and it ended up with me thinking, okay, I'll just paint your barn pink. How do you like that?
Oh.
That was what I thought. I didn't say it. I knew not to say it because that's the worst thing you could do is provoke a spirit because they can. You never know what you're getting when you deal with them.
Exactly. They can always come home with you, or you can actually become possessed with that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't say anything, but that anger peaked, and when it went away, it was there, and then it was gone, sudden. The investigator standing next to me was scratched, and he had turned and asked me, he said, will you please look at my back? He said, you know, he says, my back is burning, And sure enough, he had scratches up his back from where the spirit had scratched him. Why it did not attack me, I do not know. It is beyond me. But later on, I was told that the spirit had a authoritative figure issue.
Okay.
Did not lock me in. Loved women, but didn't lock me in. But to me, that was probably one of my scariest cases, because to me, it was almost like the spirit was, it was like he knew what I was thinking. And
yeah,
that's how it felt.
It was kind of telepathically connecting to your energy.
Right, and that scared me. That was the first time I was actually really scared with an investigation.
Wow. So what other areas did you all investigate? I know you did a lot of private homes. Did you guys ever do any, like, broken-down buildings or old schools or or any asylums or anything like that?
We did. I scheduled my team to do a Halloween investigation a couple of years ago, and it was an old hospital.
Oh, okay.
Was excited
now,
about
Kentucky?
Going.
Is this in Kentucky?
It was. Okay. It was. Well, I was very excited about going and doing this investigation, and we get there. We have to drive, I think it's something like 2, maybe 3 hours to get there, and we all arrive, and the outside of the hospital looks fine. Yeah, oh, okay, good. Old hospital, this is exciting. You know, it's Halloween night, full moon, you know, great conditions for investigation. We have to go around the back, and in the back, you have to go underneath, well, into the doors to the back underneath on the bottom floor. And we get back there, and they unlock the door. The guy shines the light down the hallway, and I kid you not, to me, it was like walking into a Friday the 13th film, because all the paint was chipping down the hallway on the walls.
Oh,
and
scary.
The flashlight.
That's definitely, yeah, that kind of leaves you with an eerie kind of feeling, like, I don't know if I want to be here or not.
Exactly. It was fun. It was a really fun night. We nearly froze to death, but it was a fun night. It was actually colder inside than it was outside.
Really? So those are some of the investigations you have gone to. I mean, now what do you guys, I mean, you know, as a spiritual, you know, you're spiritual too. I mean, from our talking, you know, here and there and on occasions we do. But what usually happens when, let's actually go back because I had a couple of questions, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So when you're doing these researches, mm-hmm. Are you looking into, you know, how old the building is? What are you going into detail about what you're doing for the case management and researching?
Okay, when I do research on a location, I do find out how old the building is, but I also go further back. I want to know what's been there, if there were any accidents on that property, and I will trace it back as far as I can go, as far as the paper trail will go.
Okay, and how do you do that?
Oh, wow. I'll go down to the local courthouse. I'll go to
the courthouse,
the library, anything in the archives to do the searching.
Okay.
On that location.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I do my family genealogy, and, you know, like you've heard me say this numerous times, that's what I do, but I'm assuming it was the same way, but, you know, everybody has their own way of doing it, and I'm glad you told me that, because that's really interesting. Because the person that we went to on Saturday, she's trying to find out any more about her house, but all she can go back to is the 1970s in her house. So we're trying to do more investigation with that, but that's quite interesting. So now your book that you published, is anybody able to find it and able to purchase it? Do you have a link to that or anything?
They can go to Amazon.com and just type in Spirit World Paranormal Chronicles and pick it up. Or you can Google the name of the book and it'll come up and there'll be a whole bunch of different links where you can purchase the book.
Okay. Now, how long ago did you publish that?
2 years ago.
Okay, great. Now, do you notice that ever since you had this book, you're like, crap, maybe I should put more in there. Have you noticed that? Have you had that problem?
Yes, I did. And I'm considering writing another one.
Yeah. To actually go along with the first one that you did, right?
Yes. Yes, and it'll be a bigger book, I promise.
It'll be a bigger book. So let's see what else is going on. So you're joining in Texas, the paranormal investigation team. Is there anything else coming up that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, gosh. You know, I can't think of anything right off other than that, you know, my radio show will be starting back in April with brand new episodes.
Okay, do you mind if I ask you firsthand, what are some of your episodes you're going to have? What are you guys going to be talking about on your show on Blog Talk Radio?
Well, normally for me, I will talk about a variety of different things, from the paranormal to Native American issues, because that is one thing that's very important to me, that with the way things are now, that these issues need to be put out there so people see, you know, this is what's going on, you know, and it's not as simple as everybody might think it is for the American Indian. There's still a fight going on, you know, and a struggle to this day. So, you know, and I do a lot of work with that.
Yeah, I noticed that. Because you did say that you did mention a while back that your family is Native American. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, that's why that you've been more involved in the Native. You know, I think the Native Americans, I have to be honest, this is on a different show, we probably should get together again. But I'm totally into Native Americans. I feel that I'm probably going to get shot for saying this, but I think that us white people took over their land, and they're probably quite pissed off about that. And I don't think that they get enough credit for everything that they do.
They don't get enough credit for what they do. And now I don't think it's as much as I'm sure there's still some that are really angry over what happened, but it's more about being, you know, the government coming out and saying, okay, we did this. We're sorry for what we've done. We did this. And an apology has never been issued at all for all these deaths and all the wrongdoings that was done.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that they don't have they don't get enough credit for everything that they have done, and you know it's really sad to see actually on an economically and socially culture that mm-hmm. they do not. I mean, I think they are the most. Even though my husband will say they're the richest, they're not. They're the poorest. Have you know? I'm sure yeah. you have been to lots of their. What is it called again? I'm sorry. The Native American...
The reservation.
Yeah, the reservation, excuse mm-hmm. me. The reservations are very poor. They're very down-looking. They're not... You know, the children are very... They don't get the proper care that they need because of the monies. And, you know, even though they have the casinos, I think that just goes for all of them, I think. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. You know, and you're right. There are a lot out there. And I really, yeah, I knew about the reservations, and I hadn't really been on any reservations. This has been a few years back, but I got to see firsthand some of the struggles, you know, because I did live on a couple of different reservations. But I learned when I was in Arizona, there is a reservation out there that they don't have running water. They don't have floors. They have a dirt, their homes have dirt floors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still living the way... You know, way back when they shouldn't have to live that way. You know,
no, they shouldn't. No, it's not. You know, back in the 14th, 15th century, it's the 21st century, and they should be living just like the 21st century, like everybody else does. And
mm-hmm.
I think that I totally agree with you that it's a problem. And you know, yes, our government does need to start kicking it up a notch and giving back to the Native Americans. I do totally agree on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just with them. I think that they also need to start doing for this country and the people in this country, because there are a lot of people having a lot of problems right now, and they need
oh, yeah.
that assistance. And our government's sending all this money out to all these different countries. And I understand it's a nice gesture to do, but put some of it towards this country and take care of our people, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. My husband's in the military, so, you know, I understand, but, you know, what are you going to do? I always tell them that Germany's going to take over our country, and, you know, which they already tried, but
mm-hmm.
I think Germany's going to try helping us in the end, but, you know, that's a different topic, but anyways. But anyways,
right.
So I want to hear more about the paranormal investigation, so So when you have these teams and you guys come in and do this, what is normally the routine that you guys do?
Okay, the routine, when you normally go in to do an investigation, you'll do a base reading. The base reading, usually you take an EMF and you go through and you chart how, if you get spikes or not, in what area and where. Once that's all done, you know, while that's being done, the equipment's being put up. Cameras and DVR and all that. Normally for a team, like our team, we would go in and we had a, 12 or 16 cam DVR system is what we had. But we would go in and it would all, we'd have everything set up and done within an hour. We would do our base readings. We would put up the equipment. We would know where to put the equipment up at. And another thing, too, is when you go in to do an investigation, you have to know if you're getting a hit or if it's an electrical device causing it.
Okay, and you mean by electric device, like some electricity, like electrical outlets or something?
Yes, that or an electrical box or what have you, because sometimes they will emit high EMFs. And if they're emitting high EMFs, then there's possibility there's an issue with the wiring, you know, of that structure.
Exactly.
And that can sometimes make a person think that they're actually seeing something or feeling something that's not there because the electrical charge is so high that it's just putting that on you and just makes it come across that way when there's nothing there. So being an investigator actually is good in more than one area because, you know, when we go in and do this, you know, we make sure that we are getting actual paranormal hits. And if we're not getting that, we rule out what it could be doing.
Okay. What are some of the that you rule out? Like maybe electrical box or some like a microwave or something of that effect.
Exactly.
Okay. So, when I went on Saturday, I noticed that they set up. They were really nice and very professional, and I'm sure a lot, and I'm sure your team was as well. Mm-hmm. They were very professional. You know. They set up the equipment that needed. I think it took them about 1.5 hours. The house wasn't that big. And I think they began their session probably like around 8:30, I remember. And because my daughter had a babysit for her because, you know, they wanted the kids out of the room because of, you know, some of the EVP sessions and make sure it wasn't, you know, any of them kids making noises. And they did go around with their EVP sessions, and, you know, the microwave was going off and, you know, all this stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I was basically just a bystander, and they're asking me, what do you feel? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I could tell you this and that. But I was more like an onlooker instead of, you know, trying to be an investigator. I was just kind of curious about how that worked. And like we said earlier, like I was talking about earlier, you know, I love, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure you feel this way too, I love watching Ghost Hunters and I love watching all those paranormal shows, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, do you think it's all jumba-jumba or do you think it's half real and half fake? What is your thought on that?
Well, I'm going to say that I don't think, they don't get that type of activity with every show they do. I'm not going to say that it's fake, not fully, you know, that it's not all fake, but I think some of it is hopped up for entertainment.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. But I do know in the house that we went to, because I can tell you there's a couple of entities there psychically, I do know that we got a couple of things. And actually, another thing I was going to ask you is that he used an intelligent, I don't want to say, like an intelligent something, like he had this computer, one of the team members did, and he's using this one of the computers for intelligent testing or some sort. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I know. I was like, huh? I was looking at him like all dumbfounded. Like, what are you talking about? It's like some testing that he does to have intelligent communication or something of that effect. And I was just like, okay, you know, I don't know what y'all are talking about. But actually, at the end of the night, I went home, and then I grabbed my daughter, and we went to Waffle House, and we saw the group there, and he's like, yeah, we got a whole bunch of hits, and I'm thinking, okay, cool. So, you know, I'm thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, but the reason why I was asking, you have never heard of that either? Is it something new or something? I don't know.
It would have to be something new that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
that, you know, is, but here's the thing, though, talking about getting a lot of hits. You may get a lot of hits, but you still have to go back and match that evidence with other evidence, say audio and the video, pictures, all that. You have to have it, because even if you get a hit on an EMF, it could still be something electrical causing it. You know, and you go into an investigation skeptic. You have to go into one skeptic, or otherwise it's all going to be paranormal. The creaking of the floor of the house settling, that's a ghost walking across the floor. Or, you know, say a light flickers, you know, that'd be something else that could be considered as paranormal, but it's not. You know, it could be a little surge in the electricity to cause it. You have to take all that into perspective before you present your evidence to the client.
Okay. Now, how long does your investigation usually go for? I mean, does it depend on the house, or, I mean, how does that usually work? I mean, I know the one we did on Saturday was for about 5 hours. I mean, does it depend on the house size or the building size?
Not necessarily the size. Sometimes it can take a while longer to do. And if you are getting good evidence and you want to stay to try and communicate more, our team has been as much as overnight on an investigation.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it just depends how much evidence you get and how much you report and stuff, yeah?
Right.
Okay. And now, how long does it usually take for your team to gather the information and to write a report?
That's the fun part.
Yeah, why? Tell me why.
That's the fun part. If you have, say, 6 hours of video, you have to sit down and watch that, and then you have to document each little thing that shows the possibility of activity.
Okay.
If something blows by a curtain and the curtain moves, you have to document it. That takes a decent amount of time to do. You don't want to do it quickly because you might miss something. That's the same thing with audio. And unfortunately for me, my deal was always I would do audio and I would do pictures. Audio for me is like knocking me out to sleep. I will have to listen. I'll get partway through it and then have to do it again because I've fallen asleep. It gets boring. But to really put it together, our team would take 1 to 2 weeks to put all that evidence together and then present it.
Okay.
But we would turn around and go back to that client. You know, we would work with that client several different investigations, you know, in order to find out what was going on and then make a decision what to do.
Okay. So my question is that how can you tell the difference between dust to orbs?
Dust to orbs. Oh, I love this question. Dust is transparent, and it has a shimmer to it. Certain times when the light hits it, it reflects, and it's transparent. And that's similar with moisture as well.
Okay.
But an orb, on the other hand, it has a center. And then it comes outward, and then there's energy that comes off of that. If there's energy coming off that and you have a center and it's solid, then that more than likely is an orb.
Okay.
But dust and moisture, all and we throw that out.
Okay. You know, to the keen eye, of course, you know, for someone that's inexperienced like myself. Hey, that's an orb. Hey, that's an orb, you know. That's what I was doing. It's an orb. She was like, I mean, the whole page was like orb, because they had infrared, you know, and I'm like, you would see it, and I was like, okay, that's an orb. And, you know, the lady come back, that's dust. I'm like, honey, can you say it's dust? You know, I'll be sitting there, orb. Because, you know, it looked like to me as orbs, you know, because I had and haunted in my house when we lived in Oklahoma. And, you know, I took pictures everywhere. And let me tell you, I had some great orbs there. But, you know, I mean, I'm not the keen eye, so I don't know, you know. I just thought, hey, orb. But that's really good to know, because now if I ever go on an investigation, I'll be going, okay, let's see. Is it dust? Nope. It doesn't have a transparency. Wait a minute, it has a center. It's an orb. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got to add humor because, you know, my life, got to add humor to it. But anyways, so let's go back to now, has there ever been on your team any psychics or mediums?
NASAC mediums. Now, some of us were able to sense things.
Okay, so as a sensitive,
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sensitive, so I can sense it. But, you know, but there's been investigations where we'll go and I don't feel anything. You know, and our founder would turn around and look and say, well, does anybody feel anything? And be like, no. But, you know, it just depends on the spirit, too. I mean, it's not said they're not there. It just, maybe they just didn't want to talk, you know, or maybe they didn't want to, you know, let nobody know they were there that night. Who knows?
So another question for you too is I'm really interested about this. Now this goes along with something else that I'm going to talk about, but spirit boxes, and this is going to go along with my theory of, is it similar to, because you know I work in the light, so I don't really work in the negative perspective of it, but I'm thinking more of the Ouija board, spirit box, Ouija board. What is your thought on that? Do you recommend using the spirit boxes, or do you just, you know what I'm saying, or what is your thought on the whole perspective on that, on spirit boxes?
The spirit boxes, honestly, they give me headaches. Give me headaches. But, you know, I personally don't really like them, because when you're using them, you have to have a very keen ear to be able to catch it. Now, with the way they are, all it is just a radio, and it's set to where it'll just go through constantly moving.
Yeah.
And if there's something there, then, you know, you might catch that. But I personally do not like them, and I do think you have to be careful with them, because in one way they would be similar to an Ouija board to a certain degree.
Because you had to bring in that energy, and when that energy is coming in, it's like the Ouija board. That's why I tell my clients, don't ever mess with the Ouija board unless you want some interesting spirits linger around you. They worked on the spirit box, and I was just curious what your thought was. I mean, we got some good information from the spirit box, but it kind of gave me a headache, and I was like, oh, God, this would be so annoying if I had to listen to this all the time. But I just wanted your input because, you know, you have been in the investigating paranormal field for a very long time, and I was just curious about what your thoughts were on that.
Right. Well, I personally don't like them, and mainly, you know, like I said, it's because you have to be able to catch the words when they come through.
Yeah.
You know, and what's to say you don't catch a word that might have been something from some radio station because it was slipping through.
Exactly. Exactly right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me. So, tell us what your plans are for the near future. Like, what are you going to continue doing besides your Blog Talk Radio? Is there anything else that you plan on focusing in the paranormal? Is there anything else that you plan on, you know, moving into a different horizon regarding the paranormal fields besides the investigation and with the team in Texas? Is there any other thing else that's coming up for you? Anything in store that we may want to know?
Well, I have joined Immortal Talent. So, might be able to look for me in the future at some of these conventions. I did appear at one last year, and that was my first one, so I was pretty scared doing it, but it went by okay, and I enjoyed it. But, I plan on getting out there more, and I plan on talking more, because, you know, you have these teams that form, and sometimes they don't have the training that they need in order to go out and do this. They just see it on TV and say, oh, this is cool, I'm going to go do this. They don't understand. You can join a new team, or not join a new team, but join a team that's been out there for a long time that has experience that can teach you what you need to know and how to protect yourself. Because being in a paranormal field is not fun and games. It's not for the thrills. It's, you know, we're out there helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are really scared with what's going on in their lives, and you don't want to go into a house and possibly make an angry spirit make it worse, because you get to go home.
Exactly.
At the end of that investigation. And these people don't. They have to deal with whatever you do in that house. So,
well, let me just cut you off here, and let me just do the call-in number. The call-in number is 530-327-7602, or you can call 530-413-7600 to call in with my special guest, Karen Miles. She's been in the paranormal investigation for the past 5 years. She first started in Kentucky, and we've been talking with her today, and she's been trying to give us some answers, well, actually, wonderful, bravo answers to the paranormal investigation. Let's continue. Sorry about that, Karen. I do apologize. I just wanted to give out numbers in case someone wants to call in and ask some questions for you. So I do apologize for that. So I do have a few more questions before our time's going to be wrapping up here in a few. now, you were talking about, you were talking about you need to have experience. Now, how can one have experience to be joining into a paranormal investigation team? How can they go about getting experience besides just going with a team? Is there a certain classroom, you know, education that you need, teaching, stuff like that?
Well, usually the teaching that you take would be from the ones that have been in this field for quite some time, because they know their stuff, and they've been there, and they've been trained from someone else that's taught them from years back. And that's the reason why I recommend, you know, if you're going to look for a team, look at how long they've been out. You know, look at their track record. See how well they've done in the field. Talk with the founders of the group. See what they have to tell you. And
okay.
If you think this is for you, then, you know, then request joining the team. But know one thing. When you go out there and do this, you put yourself out, and these spirits know that you're there. Stuff does happen, and sometimes it's not good stuff that can happen there that can come back on you. So you have to be very careful what you do and always show respect to these spirits when you go out and do the investigation. You don't want to provoke them. I'm not going to want to talk to you if you're going to yell at me. So why would they want to talk to you?
Yeah, exactly. Now, my other question to you, because, you know, as a psychic medium, as I am, I have to protect myself. Because, you know, they will be lingering on to me, and I really don't need to have any more, you know, them coming home to my family and disturbing my home life. So do you guys have a way of protecting yourself? Is there certain rituals or certain, you know, protecting techniques that you all do before you guys go on an investigation team?
I personally, well, the entire team will pray before investigation and after.
Okay.
And but I myself will smudge.
Okay, with the sage and smudge is the Indian, right? Indian ritual?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I do to protect myself. Now, smudging is good, prayer is good, but at the same time you don't want to go out and, you know, and just say, I'll be okay. Always protect yourself from these spirits because, you know, they're out there and they're waiting. I mean, they're literally waiting for the right one to grab a hold of, and they can be big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, you know, out there are the people that are listening, you know, just don't join a paranormal investigation team. You need to do some research, and you need to make sure that the team has been around for a while and make sure that you get learning experience before you actually go in there. And also remember to be protective of yourself. You know, again, you can become possessed by these spirits. And actually, these spirits can come home to you and linger and make your home life a living butthell hell. I do have a few more questions. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it, Karen. So I just wanted you to know that beforehand. My other question was, oh, my goodness, it blew my mind. Did you ever have that moment that you had a question and it just went out the window?
Yes,
so let me see. The question that I had for you was, so you expect for things to move forward. Now, is this team that you're working with, how long have they been around for?
This team has been out there for a while. Now, I did attempt another team at one point, but was not satisfied with what I've seen.
No.
My training is the reason why, because we were like, we get in there, we do our job, we do it professional. That's what I want. I want to see it done professionally. And because of that, you know, the slightest little thing, but that's the reason why I would rather work with a professional group versus just anyone, because I know what my standards are, and I know what the training was done when I first originally started. Now, and I was like, you were talking about the orbs a minute ago. I was the same way. I started taking pictures, and I was like, oh, you know. And the Chris Dedman was the one who started my training in the field, and he didn't even miss a beat. It was like dust. And I'd do it again, not dust. so they didn't have to look at it. Who knew?
Yeah. I think that's fascinating. I mean, you got to understand, okay, just because I'm a psychic medium, I do hear and I see the spirits, you know, in my mind, in my mind's eye. But, you know, this is, it's a different routine. It's like, you know, something new to me. And like I was saying earlier, it's to the keen eye, you'll be able to know because you have experience in it. You know what I'm saying? And like you were saying as well. So I think that's just fascinating. But I do have, that was the question that blew my mind, is that when you guys do go to these paranormal investigations and, you know, you do your reports, what happens afterwards? What I mean is, like, you know, you can go give this person their reports, and I'm not just talking about your team, but, you know, just in generalized question. When you go and give these, the families or the building or whoever, the owners of the property that is having it being haunted, what happens after you give this report? I mean, is there a certain technique or is there certain things that you do to try to get rid of the spirits? I mean, what is the outcome of that?
Well, depending on the spirit, and usually a lot of times a client wants to know, they're pretty certain there's something there and they just want to know, but they are the ones that do want them removed. So the team will make efforts to remove that spirit with cleansings. They'll bring in clerical, or clergy, I should say, sorry about that, and they'll come through and do a blessing of the home.
Okay.
You know, and that's how, you know, we go about trying to help the client. See, you don't go in and do one investigation. You go back, and you keep going back. However many times it takes to help that family or, you know, or that business or whatever, you keep going back until the problem is solved.
Okay.
Now, mind you, you know, you can cleanse a building and remove a spirit from the building, but they don't always leave what they're supposed to, you know, they don't always leave what they're supposed to. They don't
exactly
leave our earth, you know, they move on to somewhere else. So, you know, you're still having to deal with that, or another team is having to deal with what you've cleaned out.
Exactly.
But if you don't do it right, then all heck breaks loose, you know, and it can cause a lot of damage and a lot of problems for the people involved.
Yeah, you know, I try telling my clients, too, you know, like the client that I went to when I was doing a spiritual staging, I said, sometimes they don't leave. And I said, you know, I'm a psychic medium, and yes, you know, I know where the energy's at, and I was doing my staging, but, you know, they just don't want to leave, and sometimes they don't know how to leave.
No.
And, you know, you can bless the house, and you can do whatever you need to do to try to remove that energy, but I think it's, you know, it's a long process. It's not going to happen overnight, and that's what I think happens, in my opinion, when you have an entity in the house and you're trying to get rid of it. It's not going to happen overnight, and I think, you know, to actually top off our conversation here, and I'm sure you would agree with me, is that I think that's what our culture is more getting involved in the paranormal, but it's not really telling you, okay, this is what you do with the, you know, we can go on the investigation, but we really, they're not really showing how to get rid of the entity.
Right, exactly. And it makes it hard, too. It makes it very hard because you take a client that's had all kinds of problems with an entity, and they don't understand what's going on. They just know that there's something in their home and it's causing problems. Now, you got to take into perspective that spirit's way, you know, because that spirit, maybe that was that spirit's home, you know, before, and they see that home the way it was when they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand why there's someone in their house.
Exactly.
So they want to scare them out or get rid of them, so they start doing things.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes they don't even know that they're gone.
And a great movie of that perspective is the movie The Others. Have you seen that movie with Nicole Kidman?
I have.
I would clearly state it as that, would you?
I would, yes. And that movie has somewhat of a twist because you don't go into it seeing them as the spirits.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then in the end, that's when you start catching on to what's going on, and then you see, their side of it with the way they did the movie.
Exactly, and I think it's fascinating what you're doing, and I really want to say that I wish you the best for your new investigation team that's coming up in Texas, and you'll be joining, actually, and your show that's coming back up when again, I'm sorry?
It'll be coming back up in April.
Okay, do you have a specific date?
April, well, it'll be the first Friday in April.
Okay, the first Friday in April. Okay, and you can also catch your book, The Spirit Travels Chronicles?
Spirit World Paranormal Chronicles.
Sorry about that. And you can catch that at Amazon. Do you want to leave your Facebook or any of your social media so that anybody can contact you or anything like that?
I do. I'm on Twitter, so you can look up Spirit World or Spirit Travels 1 and find us there. I'm also on Facebook. K Miles 2 is how you find me. And if you want to add me and be my guest, I'd be more than glad to add you. I do have a web page for Spirit Travels Radio as well, and it's at web.com.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank everybody for actually joining me today, and if you listen to the archives, you'll be able to hear with my special guest, Karen Miles, today. Again, she first started 5 years ago in Kentucky, and she was actually bravo. She did a fabulous job going in details, actually, about what she does as a paranormal investigation. And before we leave, do you want to leave anything else to anybody to listening? Do you want to give any more details or any, you know, some information that you want to share with them before we get off and end our conversation today?
Well, the only thing that I want to say is to the ones that are considering joining the team, please think before you do it. Make sure this is what you want to do, because, you know, even now I still have stuff that comes through my house sometimes that I'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you can turn it on or off. Once you get involved, they know you, and they will seek you out. Whether you're out there investigating or not, they will look for you, and you'll get the good and the bad with it.
Exactly.
So just be very, very careful what you do, and make sure that if you want to go with it, go out and paranormal investigate, do it right. No trespassing, no disrespect, none of that. You know, do it right and join a good team and get your training before you do it.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for joining. Before I end our show today, I wanted to say that don't forget that I'm airing February 25th at the same time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 12 p.m. Central Standard Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My special guest on February 25th is going to be Cal O'Ray. She's a holistic healer. She's been in this business for a very long time, and don't forget that we're join me on the 25th of February. Again, I want to say thank you so much, Karen, for joining me today. I really enjoyed talking with you, and I hope to see you again on my show. And, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope you join me pretty soon on my show as well.
I hope so, too. And before I leave, I just want to say thank you, and I'll see you guys next time on Enchanted Hour with Psychic Medium Antoinette. Thank you for calling in. ¶¶